Today's shiur is dedicated for Eschus for Fu Shlema, Fisham and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masecht and Nedarim, Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the top of Amud at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues to discuss the halacha of an arusa, a woman who is already mureses, and different situations of how and when her Nedarim can be mufar, can be nullified. Nadras, it says the Mishnah, she made a neder v'hi arusa while she was still in arusa. In this gar shaboy b'yoyim, and she got divorced on that day that she made the neder, without the father and the husband having been made for the neder before that divorce took place. Because, and therefore, point out the Mefarshim, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where everything took place on the same day. It's critical that everything that's discussed in our Mishnah took place on the same day. For if it did not all take place on that day, then we would have a new consideration. That is the concept of Yom Shamay, that the day that the father and the husband hear the neder are the last day when the neder could be nullified. And if it's not nullified by that day, it becomes too late. And therefore, explains the Mishnah is referring to a situation, not even this garsha by b'yoyim, when this barsha by b'yoyim, but she became a mereses that very day with another man. The filomea, even if that happened 100 times, the halacha is, avio bala achra mefirnas nereo, her father remains a constant, the father is always made for Nedarim of the Mureses, and the husband is jointly with him is made for the Nedarim. Says the Mishnah, who is the husband that jointly is made for Nedarim with her? That is the last husband. So as the Rishash explains, what happens here is that the last Arus takes the place of the first Arus. And therefore, since he's taking the place of the first Arus, so for the first Arus, this is the Yom Shamay. This is the day that he heard the neder. And therefore, the last Arus, who is taking his place, only has the same rights as the first Arus. And since he only has the same rights as the first Arus could have only been made for neder on that day. He couldn't have been made for neder any other day, because past that day will no longer be the Yom Shamay. The last Arus also has to make sure to be made for the neder that day. Because all he's doing is taking the place of the last Arus. There are Achronim that disagree, and that say that the Arus, the last Arus, can be made for the neder even on a later date, as long as it's the day that he first heard of the neder. But as I said, most Rishonim and Achronim learn that he only can be made for the neder on the day of the first Arus, the day that the first Arus heard the neder, because he's taking that Arus's place. And since it's the Yom Shamay for that Arus, it's also the Yom Shamay for him. Of course, the other question that many Rishonim discuss in understanding our Mishnah is, how could a woman become mureses a second time on the same day as she was mureses the first time? Doesn't there have to be, we've learned many times, the halacha of havchana, the halacha is that there has to be a 3-month period between the two marriages. So how is it possible, specifically as our Mishnah just said it could happen 100 times, how is it possible that a woman should be mureses 100 times all in one day, if there is a halacha that you have to have, a 3-month period in between? So there's two ways that the Rishonim approach this question. Some Rishonim say that our Mishnah is following the opinion that the halacha that you have to have the 3-month period is only in a case where there was a nesuin. Because what is the reason Chazal said that we have to have this 3-month period between marriages? Because in case the woman is pregnant, we need to be able to know, and then she has a baby, we need to know if she clearly if this child is the child of the first husband or the second husband. But if there was only an erusin, then the halacha is that we don't have to have that, there's no concern that she's pregnant, and the concern that we don't know who the father is, therefore, is not there, and she can be memoresis many times to many people on the same day. Other Rishonim explain the Mishnah as in the case of Bidiyevid, that what the Mishnah actually is teaching us is that L'chatchila, she should not have gotten married, she should not have become Mureses to another man on the same day. Here, we're speaking about a case that she was Mureses to the second man she was Mureses, not something that she should have done, but Bidiyevid, if she was Mureses, the Erisin is valid, and now the Mishnah says not only is the Erisin valid, but the second Orus, or as we learned, even the 100th Orus, takes the place of the first Orus. Moreover, because of many reasons that we're going to be discussing in our Shia today, the Mishnah is speaking specifically in a case where she was Mureses to the second husband, but not she was Nesua to the second husband. And the question that comes up is, one of the reasons is for a different reason altogether, and that is, the halacha is that a woman, when she gets ready to get married, has to sit zayin nekiyim. She has to separate herself and make sure that she doesn't become neither examine herself for 7 days. But that's only halacha by nesuin. Our Mishnah speaking about erusin, the halacha that before erusin takes place, there is no such halacha that you have to have the zayin nekiyim. And the reason is because the reason why you need to have the zayin nekiyim before a woman gets married is because there's a concern of dam chimud with the anxiety of getting ready to get married. Maybe she became a nida, but that's only in a case where there's going to be a nesuin, where they're going to have relations. By erusin, that halacha doesn't apply. Zel klal. So the Mishnah summarizes kol shlo yotzu shus atma achas. Here, where the woman was never left her father's rishus. Why? Because she's only a mureses. So as we keep on learning as the theme of our parak, a woman who's mureses is still connected to a father. And she's also a woman that didn't become a begeres, because as we discussed in our previous year, once a woman becomes a begeres, she too is no longer connected to a father. And all these, so she father can't be made matan adarim. But in this case, her father, who has still the rishus over her because she's not nesua and she's not a begeris, and the last husband together are made for the dorim. But if she would have become a begeris or nesua, her father has no right to be made for the dorim. But what would be the halacha regarding the arus? The arus would not be able to be made for the nether by himself either, as the Ran explains. Because there's never a circumstance that the halacha allows an orus to be made for a nether by himself. So he wouldn't be able to be made for the nether himself. And if we'll suggest, which we already have suggested, that that can't be the case, that she becomes a nesua, if she becomes a nesua, there would be a different issue. Because the halacha is that a husband who has nesuin with his wife, the loch is ein abal meifer bekoidman. The husband can't be made for any pre-existing nedarim. So that's why we have to explain that she's still under the father's rishus. Says the Gemara, Menolon, ask the Gemara, Menolon, the Oros Achron, meifer nedarim shener l'oros rishon. The Gemara's question is, as we've been learning, that the husband, the last husband, takes the place, the last Oros takes the place of the original Oros. And the Gemara is asking, how do we know that that is the halacha? In other words, the way the Ran asks, who says that the nedarim that the last husband is made for are nedarim that the original Oros already heard? Maybe the nedarim that this last Oros could be made for are nedarim that the husband never, that the first Oros never heard. If that's the case, why does it have to be by Biyoyim? As we started our shir, we explained that our Mishnah is specifically saying by Biyoyim because the first Oros heard those Nadarim that day, And once the first Oris heard those Nadarim that day, we now fall into the B'yom Shammai issue. But if we're saying that the Oris, that the case of our Mishnah is that the first Oris never heard the Nadarim, and that's why the last Oris, and that's the only reason why the last Oris can be made from the Nadarim, maybe it's because the first Oris never heard the Nadarim. So of course, ask the Ran, if that's what we would want to say is the halacha of our Mishnah, then why would the Mishnah say that by B'yom? Why would he have to be made from the Nadarim that day if the first Oris never heard the Nadarim? Whenever he hears the Nadarim, he should be able to be made for it. So the Ran says the reason the Mishnah required that should be by B'yom is not because of the Oris. It's really because of the father. Because we're going to be saying that our Mishnah speaking where the father heard the Nadarim. So for the father that day, so for the father, it's the B'yom Shammai. And of course, the Nadarim have to be mufar, have to be nullified jointly by the father and the Oris. So since they have to be mufar jointly by the father and the Oris, if it's the B'yom Shammai for the father, the husband has that pressure as well. But certainly, the Mishnah is not who says that the Mishnah has to be speaking that the first Oris heard the Nadarim. Maybe if the first Oris heard the Nadarim, the last Oris will never have the right to be made for those Nadarim. Answers the Gemara Amr Shmuel Amr Kra Bim Hayasil Ish Nadar Alea. The word Alea means Nadarim Shayla Kfar. That means that the Nadarim that were on that she already had previously, Nadarim not only that were there previously, but Nadarim that were heard by the first Oris, this halacha applies to. Answers the Gemara Dil Mahani Mili, maybe the Gemara persists. The when does the Torah say that the last Oris, the second Oris, has a right to be made for? Only Nadarim Shloi Niru L'Oris Rishon, that the first Oris never heard. Avel Nadarim Shniru L'Oris Rishon, if they were Nadarim that the first Oris heard, Loi Matzi Mefer Oris Achron, their halacha would be that he would not be able to be Mefer. And as the Rishonim explain, what's the difference? Because once the first Oris became the person who has to be made for the nether, then it's only his right to be made for the nether. Any other Oris is not able to take his place. And once any other Oris is not able to take that place, he wouldn't be able to be made for the nether. Answers the Gemara, Oleh. The Pasuk said, from Hayasil Ish Unudurel Oleh. The Torah added the word Aleh to teach us Kroyaserihi, to teach us that the second husband has the right to take over the position of the first husband. And says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel, the Brisa that we're about to learn supports what Shmuel just said, that not only that even though the first Oris heard these Nadarim and would potentially have had the ability and the right to be made for those Nadarim, the last Oris, if he passes away, even though he heard those Nadarim, the last Oris can be made from Nadarim. Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel, because the Brisa says, Nara Marasa, Ovi Obala, Mefirim Nadarim. Keitzat, says the Brisa, Shama Avira, if the father heard Vehefala, and he was Mefer. Vleisbek Abal Ushmaya at Shemes. And then the husband did not have opportunity to hear the nether until he passed away. Nisarsa by B'yom, and she becomes an Arusa that day. And as I said before, that the Mishnah, the Brisa, the Mishnah, the Ran, and all the other Rishonim stress is speaking because of it has to be by B'yom. Because if it's not by B'yom, it'll be too late. Because the father, because it will be the day that the father heard the nether, the husband the nether. And this happens, afilu mei pamim, even if it happened 100 times, avi u'bala achron, the father and the last husband, mefirim nederel, the mefer the nether. So the Rishonim, in learning this Gemara, have a very big discussion. We've learned many times in our sugyas, we began a sugya of megas gaius or miklish kolish. How do we look? How does the halacha look at the hafaras nadarim of one of the partners, the father, the husband? Is he megas gaius or miklish kolish? Does he take away entirely one part of the nether, or does this weaken the entire nether? And we learned that it's actually machlekes beshamim beshilul. The Beis Shammai's opinion is that it's Megas Gaius. He takes away part of the nether, but what's left is a full-fledged nether. And Beis Hillel's opinion was that it's Miklash Kosh, the entire nether becomes weakened. And since the entire nether becomes weakened, we learned that that is the opinion of Beis Hillel. And therefore, such a nether, which was already weakened by the father having been mefer, Beis Hillel will say, we don't say Nisraikna, and it can't become mufer. So what will be the case here, where the father was made for the nether, and now the Oris died, and the new Oris is in his place, and the Brisa says that the last Oris could take the place of the first Oris. Why don't we say over here that once the father was made for the nether, the Miklash Kolish, according to Beis Hillel, the nether has become completely weakened. And once the nether has become completely weakened, it can no longer be mufer with another Oris. So the Rishonim explain that the way to understand this is very simple. Because they explain that what happened over here is that if the Beis Hillel's opinion is that if the father was made for a nether, and after the father was made for the nether, the husband was nifter, though Beis Hillel says in that case we don't apply the concept of Nisraikna, and the halachas we can't, that this nether will never be able to be nullified. But that's because the husband died and the father already weakened the nether, so this is not a nether anymore that's a candidate for Afara. Here, we're learning the Gemara very, very differently. We're learning that the second Oris takes the place of the first Oris. So certainly, the halacha would be that if the father was made for the nether, and the husband didn't die, and then that the halacha certainly is, that's the din of the Torah, that the Torah speaks about, that the Oris now is made for the nether. There is no issue of Nisroikna. The husband is very much alive. And since the husband is very much alive, he has the ability to be made for the nether. The pshat in our Gemara is that, and we keep on repeating this, is that the second husband takes the second Oris, or whatever Oris, takes the place of the first Oris. If he takes the place of the first Oris, it's like the Oris never died, and therefore this is a situation where both of them, the father and the Oris, jointly are made for the nether. Shama Bala, says the Mishnah, if the first husband heard the nether, the Hefala, and he was made for the nether, V'loi hispak av l'shmoya atchem esabal, and now the father didn't hear the nether until the husband died. And now she went and she became mureses to another person. Chayzer av u'meifach hekel shabal. So this is a case where the father could take over the part of the husband that the husband was made for and now he's dying. Now he can be made for himself. On this comments the Gemara, Rav Nosson. Here, says Rav Nosson, hein divrei Beis Shammai. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Ava Beis Hillel, I mean, Beis Hillel's opinion actually is going to be Eina Yochel Hafer, that he cannot be made for only together with the second Oris. And to repeat what we just explained, only when the father is mefer with the second Oris, is that the case that the Torah spoke about? The Torah spoke about a case where a husband and a father are mefer together. And our Mishnah Gemara has taught us today that the second husband actually stands in the place of the first husband. But in a case where we're going to want that the father should take over the place of the husband, because the husband died, we want to rely on the concept of Nisraikna, we can't rely, according to Beis Hillel, on the concept of Nisraikna for a father to take over, to be made for a nether that was already weakened previously by the father being made for it. Says the Gemara B'mai Pligi, what is the basis of the Machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Shammai Savri, Nedarim Nami Shura La'oris, Nisraikna L'shus Af. All, as we just explained, all Beis Shammai requires to say Nisroikna is that the husband passes away, the father takes over his spot, and the father takes over his spot no matter why he, no matter what happened previously, if the father was not making a nether, if the father wasn't making a nether, because even explained by Shammai, if the father was made for a nether, all he did was make his gaius, according to Beis Shammai. He took away part of it, but the other part is fully there. And since the other part is fully there, it's a full-fledged nether. And if it's a full-fledged nether, the father has a right to be made for it. Whereas Beis Hillel Savri, and we learned this previously, Beis Hillel's opinion is that if you are Bala Akram Mafin and the Rea, loy megas gaius. The father only, it's not that he takes out the nether, he weakens the nether. And in a weak nether, we don't say Nisroitna. If the father, and therefore if the father had already been made for the nether, and now the husband died, that nether is not a candidate according to Beis Hillel for Nisroitna. The only time we would be able to say Nisroitna is if the father had never been made for the nether prior to the death of the husband. That's one example. And the other example where we would be able to say that the father could be made for the nether, even though the Oris died, is if now there's a new Oris, and that new Oris takes the place of the original Oris, and therefore the father and the husband, the father and the Oris, have a right to be made for the nether together. Ibarlehu. So now I ask the Gemara another question. A husband heard of his wife's nether, and he then divorced his wife. How does the halacha look at it? In order to understand this question, we have to go back to a halachas that we learned many times. One halacha that we learned is that if a husband or a father are making the nether, confirm the nether, that nether can never become mufar. If the husband or the father hear of the nether, b'yom shamay, as long as they hear of the nether of that day, and they let the day pass, the nether also becomes confirmed. Here we're speaking about a case, says the Ran, where the husband heard of the nether, and then he divorced his wife. And it was, b'yom shamay, obviously. Do we say that the fact that he divorced his wife, it's considered like he not just heard the nether, but it's considered as if he was actually making the nether? Or do we say he heard the nether, he didn't react to the nether, but he wasn't making the nether, and it's not considered as if he was actively making the nether, it'll only be considered like he heard the nether. It says the Gemara, L'mai nafkamina, what would be the nafkamina? Explains the Gemara, Kigon Shinodra, the husband, she made a nether, the Shamabalan, the husband heard, the Gersha, and he then divorced her, without having been made for it, and then, the Hadra B'yoymai, and then he takes a back that day. If we'll say that it's considered like he was, that it was just quiet, so the halacha is, it's still Yom Shammai. And since it's still Yom Shammai, so Matzmefila, he still has the ability to be made for it. Because as I said many times, the husband has the right to be made for the nether, the entire Yom Shammai. And this is still the Yom Shammai. However, if we're going to say that when the husband divorces his wife, what happens when he divorces his wife is he's actually saying, and all the nadarim that are on you, and obviously he knows of those nadarim, are considered mukam, they're considered confirmed, then the halacha is that once another is hukam, le'matzi meifala, we can't be meifer. So the Rishonim point out that this entire discussion is only by an arusa. Because the halacha is that if the husband and wife had nesuin, so let's say they originally were nasui, then the halacha, and now he becomes nasi to her again, the halacha is that a number of factors that are taken into consideration fall away. First of all, the halacha is eina bal meif b'kaidman. If they consummate the marriage to the point of being the suin, then the husband cannot be made for the original nadarim. Moreover, the consideration about the father would not be a consideration, for as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, the halacha is that once a woman becomes nesua, even if she's not yet a begeres, the father loses any rights to ever be able tamei for the neder. The Masham actually says the Gemara could have given another nafkamina, because there's a discussion in the Paiskim if after Hakama could there still be Ataras Nadarim. That means after Yom Shammai, after the father or the husband heard the neder and just remained silent, even though they obviously lose their ability to be made for the neder, they still have the right of the go to Rav to be mat the neder. But after Hakama, there are Rishonim that say Hafara, you cannot even be mat the neder. So actually, that could have been a nafgamina that the Mishnah, that the Gemara could have mentioned as well. If we consider Gerushin as a Hakama, then this neder can never have Hataras Nadarim. But if this is a neder that, if this is a neder that had just Yom Shammai, then it's still be a candidate for Hataras Nadarim. And as we said, the Ram strongly emphasizes that we're speaking here when an Arusa, because if she's in a Suah, then if now there's an Erisin, besides the fact that there were not allowed to be another, that there were not maybe allowed to be an Erisin if she was in the Suah for 3 months, but even if she, even if there was an Erisin that took place, then the Eris can't be made for himself. And the father can't be made for, because this girl was ready once in the Suah. And if we're going to say that what happened today was there was a second Nesuin, the halacha is in a baal made for the kaidman. He cannot be made for the Nedarim that took place previously, even if they were previously or his oris. Doesn't make a difference. There's a halacha that once there's Nesuin, there's no erisin. And as I said at the beginning of the shir, because the Ran and all the Rishonim explained that the case that we're discussing here is specifically a case where it was Erisin but not Nesuin, the question that many Paiskim discuss, that the halacha, that a woman cannot get married until she has Zayin Nekiyim, the question is, does that even apply if a woman remarries an original husband? The concern that I spoke about at the beginning of the shir about Dam Chimud, is that only with a man that she never had relations with? Or is the concern of Dam Chimud even apply with a man that she had relations with? And the Paiskim say that it seems that we have to be concerned about the Dam Chimud even with a man that she was previously married to. The only time they'll make an exception, interestingly, the Paiskim say, is if she remarries a man on the day they got divorced. That means if they got divorced, they had Nesuin, they got divorced, and then they got remarried that very same day. There, the Paiskim say that since it's the original husband, there won't be a 3-month requirement of waiting, nor will there be a requirement of Zayin Nekiyim.